Don't give up on him. You know, I have a horse, and my horse was given to me by God like many years ago, and I rode him for a few years, but an incident happened a year or two ago where I had gone away for a month, and when I came back, the people hadn't cared for him properly. And so he was thin, and I moved him to another place, and they said that the saddle I had was too heavy for him. So it was enough of those little discouraging things that even though he's nice and fattened up, and I don't feel comfortable riding him yet, and it's been over a year. So the other day I went to visit him, and horses are basically fear-based animals, and fear being the opposite of love. I just continue to pay his board and let him eat, you know? So, I came to get to pay his board, actually, and I put my boots on and I went out, and the guy that takes care of the horses grabbed him for me and brought him in. And when he saw me, he went, and he goes, "I know you see your mom, just settle down." And so I got him and I said, "Okay, let's go spend some time together." Well, I took him in, but he knows the process is you go from the field to the barn where you get food. So he was like, like he's telling me, "No, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. Where's the food?" So I thought, you know what? He's going to get a little anxious here and I could get hurt. You got to be careful with horses, you know? So I thought, let's just take him to his stall. So I took him and I put him in his stall, but they had gotten him first, and that's not normally what happens. Normally, he comes in with the other horses. They've come in two by two, and so they're all there. So he gets in his stall, and he knows he's the only one in the stall, and he runs over to his bucket. He takes a bite of grain, and then he starts going, you know, and all this fear, and I'm going, "Kedar, it's okay. They're going to be here. Kedar." And I'm thinking, I need to sell this horse. He's crazy. You know, and he's just doing this thing around and around, and he's all anxious. And I keep telling him, "They're going to be," and I'm looking, and they're getting all the other horses into all the other stalls, and they're not bringing his friends. And I'm like, for crying out loud, you know. And he kept coming over, and I'd say, "Kedar," he'd get a bite, he'd come over and look at me, and I'd reach up to touch him and go, "Hur, hur, hur," you know. And I'm like, "Oh, for the love of Pete." You know, so finally they brought the other horses, and he was peaceful. And I went home, and I was like, "Lord, my determination is to get on him this year and to enjoy this gift that you've given me," because he's never released me to not have him. When he gave him to me, he told me, "The dreams you've forgotten, I remember." Now, that's a loving daddy. Yes. And I would say that to you. Know that the dreams you've forgotten, he remembers. So, fast forward about a day, my son gets a notice. He's had some legal issues in the past, and some of you know his story, and he's my youngest, and he's still at home, and this notice could have prison attached to it, okay, and it was about driving under the influence, and so he's very, very anxious, and he started doing this. And he'd go in the refrigerator and get something to eat. And he'd come back and he'd do this. And I'm like, "Ronnie." And he's like, you've been on the government side all this time. You know how these... And I'm like, "Ronnie, driving under the influence can kill people." You know. You know. And I thought, "God, you want me to keep my horse and you want me to keep my son." Quite frankly, and all this is my process of giving things over to God and learning to walk in trust. Amen. Come on in. We've been waiting for you. Yay! So I want to talk to you about love. I have the joy of being more artistically gifted than other, like I administratively, blah, if it wasn't for Laura, seriously, oh, she just walked out. But, and I was, I have a lot of lacks that I see big, but God has blessed me with my little thing. And it's about the arts, and it's about having an imagination and being able to create things. And I own a singing telegram business, so I write songs on a regular basis. I'm the head of the music department, and I've been doing that for a long time. So when I say the beauty of imagination, I mean that God wants us to be like that child that can imagine and create, and a sanctified imagination is a very powerful thing. It's linked deeply into the prophetic, and anyways, I say that to say that last time I shared something about love was on a Sunday morning, and I had people shut their eyes, and we went into this creativity of imagining. Because it was spontaneous. I mean, I walked up and God says, have them take communion. I'm like, I don't have anything. Are you going to, you know, loaves and fish me into this, Lord, you know? And he said, no, just walk them through with the beauty of their imaginations. And so I did, and we took communion. Well, when I suggested that to Anna, I said, okay, look, we could do this two ways. We could do it like I did it before, or we could give them blueberries and bread. And she goes, oh, let's do the blueberries and bread. Because she was one of the people that had a little bit of a hard time with that, even though she's extremely creative. So, like, we're all different, right? So, anyways, that don't nibble on that, because that's what we're going to do in a little while. We're going to take communion. Okay, so I want to just read to you a little bit out of the Word, because the Word is alive, and it's active, and it's powerful, and it's creative, and it's going to help to create as God sheds abroad His love in your hearts. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's languages. Oh, I use the Passion Translation because, as you can tell, I'm passionate. And so when this book came out, I bought it. And I've been reading it ever since. So anyways, if I were to speak with eloquence in earth's languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. If I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I owned to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements or inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame or disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as a defeat, for it never gives up. Perfect love never stops loving. Of course, that's 1 Corinthians 13. 1-8. So I want to pray Colossians 1, about 9-14. I rewrote it a little bit. I want to pray that over us. Amen. I pray that each of us here would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure for our lives, making us, all of us, reservoirs of every kind of wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we would receive not just in our heads, but that we would have a spirit-to-spirit connection. Amen? That out of our bellies would flow fresh rivers of living water. We pray that we would walk in the ways of true righteousness, Lord, pleasing God in every good thing that we do. That we would become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to His life in us and maturing in the rich experience of knowing God in His fullness. And I pray that we would be energized with all the explosive power of the realm of the magnificent glory filling us with his hope. God, our hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when we think of how you made us worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by the living light, Jesus. You have rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom realm of your beloved Son. For in Jesus, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through the very blood. It's in that revelation that we remember, and in so doing, reactivate that sacrifice that set us free. We're going to take communion right now. Because in remembering, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And that word remembrance isn't just, oh yeah, I remember when that happened. It's more than that. The word remembrance there means to bring it into the now, to bring that experience freshly into the now. Those of us that have experienced cross immersion over at MDCC, they talk about the fresh, hot blood. And I never understood that until I understood the word remember. And so as we take a blueberry and a piece of the bread that's in front of you there, if you could pass those around, and I'm going to take a little one here, a little one here. So this is your imagination, okay? Come on. This blueberry is represents the blood. And this cinnamon bread represents the body. And Isaiah 53:5 says, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. We were healed. We take this bread, God, and we thank you for it. And in taking it, we are taking the body of Christ, which represents our healing and the healing of the nations, God. We thank you for it. We take it in a unified manner, God. We take it all together to glorify you because you love unity. You love our unity, and you love when we remember this. We take this in Jesus' name. And then he took the cup. And my understanding is that he took the cup that represented, that stood at the table, that represented the coming Messiah. And he said, drink this in remembrance of me being poured out for the sins of the world. All our sins are forgiven. There is no shame that can attach itself to us. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we declare this blood, not just over us, but over our families and our friends and our mountains of influence and our police department and our chaplain department. God, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Take that. I've got a sticky hand. God, you are so good. You are so good, Daddy. Abba, we belong to you. 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 And it's so good to belong to you, Daddy. So good. Colossians 3:12 says, you are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate weaknesses of those in the family of faith, and forgiving one another in the same way that you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault in somebody, release that same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. I want deeply to be mature. I don't want to be stuffy, and I don't want to block my gifting, but I want to be mature. And maturity looks like love. I love that. Let your heart always be guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who has called you to be part of his one body, and always, always be thankful. I am thankful. I am thankful to be here. I am thankful for each one of you that is here today. The Christ in you, connecting with the Christ in me, connecting with the Christ in you, connecting with the Christ. When you guys have your discussion groups, know that Christ is intermingling back and forth. You're pulling, you're drawing on the Christ within us. So good. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with psalms and festive praises. Woohoo! And with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. Expect me to start singing at any moment. And with the prophetic songs, yes, sing to God with all your hearts. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. Okay, so the other day, you might all know, on my birthday, December 13th, my husband had triple bypass surgery. It was the best gift ever. 2 days earlier, I had taken him to the hospital for a heart cath, and we expected that there would, you know, be something that they would find, but the doctor came in, he says, it's much worse than we thought. You're not going home. I'm like, what do you mean by that? He said, we're transferring you to Royal Oak, and we're going to make a decision as to what to do. It'll be a two or three bypass or this other grinding thing, which didn't sound very good. So 2 days later, on my birthday, he had a triple bypass. Now, what you have to... Hey, how long do I have? You have like 21 minutes. Oh, good. Okay, so just go like this. All right. When I have two more minutes, because I still have to... Okay. So where was I? Dad, Ron was... Okay, so but 2 months ago, I was lying in bed, and I had a dream that... Ron is my husband. Ron and I were driving down the road, and he was in the passenger side of his truck, and he was in the driver's side. I was in the passenger side, and we're driving along, and he's looking in the mirror, giggling and laughing about something, which he doesn't do. He's not a giggler, rarely laughs. He's just a really even-keeled guy, which is why we got married, because, you know, I'm a little nuts. So, but in my dream, he's looking in the mirror, not really watching where we're going, and I reach up, and I hold on to the handle, and I'm like, Ron, and we're heading straight for a cliff. And I see him take his hands off the wheel and do something silly. So I reach over and I grab the wheel and I turn it just in time not to go over the cliff. But as the truck turns, the propulsion, he flies out the window. And I'm watching him plummet to his death. Now, instead of, he goes, and gives himself over to it, and he's just diving like Superman to his death. And at the last moment, I turn because I'm like, I can't watch him die, but I know he's died, and I feel this emptiness like I have never felt in my life. And I wake up, And I just start bawling and bawling and bawling, and I can't stop it because I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this emptiness, and I look, and he's right next to me, and I'm like still crying and crying, and I look, and I'm getting madder and madder at him for not listening to me and for dying, and how could he? And I'm laying there, and his dog climbs up on the bed, and she comes up next to the bed, and she puts her head on my chest and goes, puts her head here. She's like she's trying to calm me. And he says, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I just had the worst dream. I thought, I can't stay in here." And he says, "Well, I just rebuke that in the name of Jesus." And I'm thinking, "Oh, it was a God dream. God's showing me something." I'm like, "It's okay. I'll be all right." You know, so I get up, and the dog crawls up in my place. So he had said, you know, in a half-awake voice, "What's wrong?" And he had prayed in his, you know. The dog crawls up, and I hear, "Oh, honey, how are you, sweetie?" And I'm like, "Oh." So I walk out, and I just start praying. And I'm praying for him, you know. And honestly, y'all know my husband. He's been sick all our married life. And life has not been easy. But it's been good. But it's not been easy. And there were times when I had to talk him off the ledge because he felt like, you know, not being here might be better than being here. And there were times when I even bought into that a little bit because of his pain level and stuff. But when I had that dream, I told him the next day, I said, "Look, you ain't going nowhere, and don't even mess with that thought." And he was like, "Okay, I didn't." I'm so, you know. So, you know, fast forward then to this heart surgery, and I'm like, "God, thank you that you showed me the depth of my love for my husband. You showed me the depth of my grieving were he not here." Now, this, other people came to me and told me how he was starting to look gray and stuff after the surgery. He could have died any minute from what he had. He had 100% blockage on his main artery. He had two 90% blockages, a 30 and a 65. He had taken the dog for a walk and felt kind of sick. Well, you know, it's hard for him to discern what is and isn't pain from the arthritis. So he just came home and then he felt better. But he thought, well, I said, "I think you should call your cardiologist." And then, you know. So I have him. It's the best birthday present ever. Best birthday ever. Seriously. So we, you know, getting our household back in shape on the way back in, because I jumped into that for a minute for a reason. I was talking about, oh, yes, ministering to others. Well, put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you are doing it for the Lord himself, not merely for others. So I had been in the hospital for days, sleeping there with him 24/7 mostly, except one evening that I came home. It was actually on my birthday after the surgery. My daughter spent the night with him. I went over to Anna's, and we celebrated. And it was just a nice evening, and then I went home and crashed, and it was good to get some sleep. But after days and days, and after I got him home, we needed groceries. So I went to Aldi's, and I had been blessed with some gift cards. So I'm walking in, and I'm like, "God, I wanna buy somebody's groceries. Can I? Is that cool?" And I'm like, "That's your idea, isn't it?" Because you know how much I love that, right? So I went in and I'm like, "I'm going to buy somebody's groceries. Whoever gets in behind me, they're going to get their groceries." I'm excited, you know? So I get in line. The line's really long, and this little lady walks in behind me. She's only got like three things. So they open another lane. So I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to go over to the other lane." So I went over to the other lane, and she followed me. And she only had like three things. And I'm like, "Okay, well, you know, God, you know what you're doing, you know?" So I pay for all my stuff, and I pay for hers. It was like $6.95. And what I did was I just handed the card back, "Oh, do this." And she was just blown away. And I was like, "God, only you could blow somebody away for $6.95, you know?" But so I walked out, and I'm putting my stuff in the back of my car. Now, my car, all right, ladies, I'm just shy of a hoarder, okay? Not really, but I like to garage sale, and my car is what looks like a hoarder. My house is good. My car is like, woo! And there was a bunch of stuff that I was taking to the Salvation Army, and there was a box, and it had three mugs in it that I was going to get rid of. Like, that was my big thing, cleaning out my cupboard and only coming up with three mugs to get rid of. You know, so, but I'm looking at it, and the Lord says, "Give her a mug." I said, "Well, which one?" And he goes, it's Christmas time, the one with a snowman. And I'm like, okay. So I pull it out, and she walks over. She walks right up to me, and she goes, I just want to thank you for that. I had a really rough morning. It's only 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning, and she had a rough morning. And I said, well, God just told me to give you this and to go home and to sit down with him and have a cup of tea. And all this is just, you know, this is just God free flowing here. And she just welled up. She said, oh my gosh, that means so much to me. You don't understand. I just got out of the doctor's this morning. I had a test and we don't know what's wrong. And I just grabbed her and I prayed over her and loved her. And I said, God, this is better than $6.95 worth of anything. And just, you know, and that's what he wants to do with us. I mean, I couldn't have orchestrated that. I went home, got two more mugs, got two boxes of tea, put them in two gift bags. I'm ready, right? And God's like, no, it's not going to happen like that again, because you'll start a ministry, the teacup ministry, you know, and it'll become a religious thing. No, Amy, just, you know, and I'm like, okay. But Galatians 5 says, as you freely and fully yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life and owning 52 mugs. For your self-life craves things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. So if I had tried to start doing something, for me, it wouldn't have been right. For somebody else, that would have been a key. Yes, you're going to be doing this for the rest of your life, so get ready. But and the Holy Spirit's intense cravings, I love this, hinders your old self-life from dominating you. So then, two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and your new creation life of the Spirit. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the dominion of the law, but soaring above it. The cravings of the self-life are obvious, and we're not even going to talk about it. You can look them up if you want to. But at the end of that, it says, haven't I warned you that those who use their freedom for these terrible things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? Now, 2 years ago, and I know it was 2 years because I use a different color ink every year. So last year, 2019, was green. The year before was turquoise blue. So in turquoise blue, I was reading through Galatians for the first time in this version, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, produced by the Holy Spirit within you, is divine love in all its varied expressions. I about came unglued right there. Because I have always known that God is love, that love is what God is. But I had never heard it put quite this way. Divine love in all its varied expressions, divine love expressed through joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and a strength of spirit. Interestingly, down in the footnotes, it's not self-control. Self isn't even in the real word there. It's spirit control. It's lordship. It's the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Okay, let me catch up here. So I listened to Graham Cook ever since about 6 months, 6 or 8 months ago, when I was up in, I get up in the middle of the night a lot. Daddy and I just, that's when we have our time. And so I had gotten up and I turned on my phone and it just popped up. I didn't even know who I was listening to. It was called Soaking in Expectation. And I didn't even know who it was. And I listened to it, it was 45 minutes long. I listened to it 4 or 5 times before I went back to bed. Cleaned my whole house. Got rid of one mug. No, I'm just but the language that Graham, he prophesies in first person, God, and he talks about the Holy Spirit and Jesus and their love for us, and it was just my language. It was like, this is who I know God is. He is, this is the voice of God to me. And as I listened, I just expanded and grew. And I hope I didn't wake anybody, but I texted the music team, the ASA team, and in the morning, Pastor had responded to it with, I want, because they were getting ready to go to Malaysia, I want our leadership team to stay in this teaching for the next, I don't know how many weeks, until I get back. I want you to stay in this, so I keep listening to it. And so I wasn't sure. Sometimes I worry about putting stuff on there because I'm afraid I might get in trouble if I put something on good, you know? But he came into my office the next day and I said, wow, I was glad to see that you liked that. And he says, well, you know, it was funny because he mentioned Graham Cook in there. And I said, but who's Graham Cook? He goes, Amy, you don't know who Graham Cook is. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. And he says, that's who was talking. And I said, oh, I didn't even know. So, but anyhow, Graham Cook has become a mentor to me. And he has a ministry called Brilliant TV. And so he had one teaching that I listened to, and I want to share a couple of things that he shared. So I don't want to take credit for it, but it's called, it was about the fruits of the Spirit as weapons. Yes. Nothing can work against the nature of God that you are exhibiting in your life. Now, hear that again. Nothing can work against the nature of God that you are exhibiting in your life. The fruits of the Spirit are the nature of God being manifested in us. Now, if you think about it, think about the enemy for a minute. He has fruits in his experience, and they are fear and hatred and murder and all those icky things that are him. But we're going to talk about three keys to overcoming. I'll do them really fast. I'll read. No? I'm okay? Okay, the nature of God, number one, there's three. Number one, the nature of God sets us free from the enemy. The fruit of the Spirit is the nature of God, his fullness. Oh, and we want his fullness. We've all read the book, Unto Full Stature. Yes. Unchanging, his fullness. Who do you want to be to me now that you couldn't be in any other time, Lord? That needs to be our question. Who do you want to be in this moment right now that you could not be in any other time? What fruit of the Spirit do you have for me to encounter with this person or this situation in my life? If I get a hold of the answer to those questions, if I just stop in the midst of a situation and I listen and I ask Holy Spirit, I engage with Holy Spirit, he will manifest and he will grow in me, and we will win in battle when the enemy knows that no matter what he does, I'm going to use it to discover something new about the nature of God. Is that cool or what? Turning that right around, and that's what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to use for good. That's when we begin to move from being a victor, which we are victors, to an overcomer. Because you're an overcomer. Fighting a fight till the final round. You're not going under. Because God is holding you right now. You might be down for the moment, feeling like you're hopeless. That's when he reminds you that you're an overcomer. Yes, you are. You're an overcomer. The second one is the fruit of the Spirit gives us confidence in God's relationship with us. Holy Spirit manifests these gifts to us by shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts. Love being our plumb line. As we commit to practice these things, we are sowing into the character of God in our lives and reaping his favor. So everything we do is towards God, with God, from God. It's by God. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen? We learn to abide, not just believing he loves us, but knowing he loves us. Going from believing to knowing, that was such a good point. Like his lordship, I used to believe that he was Lord, but my experience is that I know he is Lord. I know he is Lord. He gives me all the nature, all the fruit. My peace I give you, he says. My experience of his love grows into my knowing. I am accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. And I wrote down here, soaking in expectation. Y'all need to write that down. Soaking in Expectation by Graham Cook. Go to YouTube and get yourself alone with him. Although, I was cleaning house. 5 times I listened to that baby. Let joy become bigger than my circumstance. That's where I'm at right now. I got some heavy things going on in my life. But joy, that facet of his character, is bigger than my circumstances. Amen. Number three, our encounter with the fruit of the Spirit will overwhelm our negative emotions. Now, part of the downside of being a creative character like I am is that I am very emotional. And sometimes that takes me right out. But the fruit, okay, and these were the fruit of the enemy was fear, despair, worry, anger, everything that is the opposite of who God is. The enemy wants you to manifest those fruits whenever possible, but God wants to overwhelm us with his nature in such a way that we become full of his good fruit so that no room for any negative exists. He wants to so flood you with his goodness that there's no room for dishonoring someone else or putting them down. To know that I don't have to move in the same spirit that is moving against me, but I get to move in the opposite spirit because that's what Holy Spirit makes available to me. The nature of God is bigger than all my circumstances. God is always planning an encounter with his peace for us. Always. Always. Something crazy comes up. Whoop, God's got peace in store for me. And therefore, through us, his nature is bigger than anything. His kindness is bigger than your condemnation. His love is bigger than your fear. Right? Behold the aspect of his nature. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Transformation. We become what we behold. We become what we behold. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher, the perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross because he had his mind on the prize. You, and me. So ask yourself, what is the fruit of the Spirit that you want to develop in me at this time, Lord? And I'll give you a clue. If there are any negatives present, God will want to give you the opposite. All right, I'm going to sing over you, and then we are going to go straight into the Selah, and I have to leave because I'm going to a wedding. But I love you guys so much. You have been so much in my heart. Thank you. And those first two questions, when you get to them, don't look at them right now, but those first two questions, you're going to answer those like real quickly, one-word answers, so that your group leaders can take you. But do whatever you want. I'll be gone. So, all right. Ah, Jesus.